Good morning. It's good to have everyone here this morning to see everybody's shining faces. If you're joining us online, we want you to know that we are especially glad to have you with us this morning. A beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day. A little bit of a change in format for today. In the past, we've done the announcements and the prayer request after we've gone offline. And that was primarily to keep the names of some people from being broadcast all over the internet. And the announcements, some of those are important to all of us, including those that are offline. So we want to move the announcements up so that everyone gets to have a chance to hear of things that are going on and activities that are going on in the church. So this morning we will begin moving the announcements, and I'll get to those in just a second. And then the prayer request, we will continue to do those after we've gone offline and keep those names from being broadcast. Okay, so we've got three announcements that we want to call your attention to this morning. The first one is that Dee Dee is collecting money to buy Christmas gifts for three girls at the Central Texas Christian's Home. So please give your donations to Dee Dee by today if you can. Shirley and Kay are collecting money for the staff for Christmas gifts. If you'd like to donate, please give them to those two ladies by next Sunday, December the 19th. Also, there'll be a group leaving the building this coming Saturday the 18th at 5 p.m. to go caroling. If you can make a joyful noise, they would love to have you attend that. If you want to join them, please call Charlene and let her know. So there's a couple of groups going, and they want to get a group that will do some caroling, and then they're going to visit some folks to share their joyful voices with them. Also, we want to make sure that we remember those folks in the Northeast that suffered from those terrible tornadoes over the last couple of days. So please remember to keep them in your prayers. And if you'd bow with me now, we will begin with a prayer. Our Father and our God, we're grateful to you for this day and for all the ways that you've blessed our lives. Father, we're thankful to you for your word. We're thankful to you for your son. We're thankful to you for this congregation that meets here. Pray that you would continue to bless all the families that are represented here, and we'd ask that you would be with our leadership. Father, we pray especially that you would be with those friends and relatives and brothers and sisters that were harmed by the recent tornadoes. Pray that you would be with them and help them as they go through the recovery effort. Pray now, Father, that you would, as we begin this service, that you would be with us. Help us to study and to learn more about you. Forgive us of our sins, for it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Just before we get started with the song service, those of us in the back there in the sound booth noticed this. It is evidently Wear Red Day today. I don't know where that happened. I didn't get a memo. I mean, I think I did, but I don't know. But that's not the weird part. The weird part is it's also bring fly swatter to church today. We've seen at least two. I don't know what.
Awesome power.
Through and love. Morning. The scripture reading for today is 1 John 3, verses 1 through 10. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that it is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that they did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known to them. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he may take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does not know what right is, righteous. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does not know what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not know what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother.
Good to see everyone here this morning. Isn't it great to be a Christian?
Amen.
He had worked the night shift to provide for his family. Things were really tight financially for a period of time, but all that changed in 2000 when Kurt Warner led the St. Louis Rams to a Super Bowl, and his family was well taken care of from that point on. And they started a family tradition when he was in Arizona as a quarterback. Before every away game, he would take his wife, Brenda, and their 7 children to a restaurant. And as they began to eat, one of the children who was picked would look around the restaurant like a quarterback looking for a wide receiver. And they would pick a family, and Kurt would tell the waiter or waitress, put that family's tab on my bill. They wanted their children to know, we've been so blessed, we need to bless other people. And we're looking at a text this morning that reveals to us how blessed we are. Blessed with the best. God wants us to rest and nest in the reality that we are the children of God. When I was 13 years old, I was baptized. And after I came out of the water, there was a group of women from our church that circled around. Water was still dripping down my face. They were hugging me, welcoming me into the family. And an older member walked up to me and handed me a membership card and said, put this in your pocket and read it later. And when I got home that afternoon, I took it out and it had the first 3 verses of this text on it about us being the children of God and what we have to look forward to. And about 3 months later, they invited me and my dad to their home, and they talked to me about this particular verse, that I was a child of God and what I had to look forward to and what I needed to be as a child of God. Made an amazing impact on me. I've told you before of the story of another man at church at the same time invited me and another guy that had been baptized to his home and talked to us about communion and the Lord's Supper and how we needed to grow in Christ. God wants us to know and to live as His children. He wants us to know our identity, and He wants us to live up to our identity. John wanted that for his readers. And so this morning, we're going to open our Bibles, which I know all of you brought to church, to discover three blessings for the children of God. About 2 years ago, I preached a sermon based on the first three verses and looking at that incredible, eternal love that God gives. But the text is about being children of God. In verse 29, he says that we, if you look up in verse 29, and you know that he is righteous, you know that anyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Children are born of God. Those who are born of God are righteous. And then he gives us three blessings in the next few verses about being children of God. First of all, we have a loving Father. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. He writes of this incredible love that God has for us and makes a point that that love is consequential. If you're a child of God, the world is not going to know you. But it doesn't matter what the world thinks, because I'm not of this world. I live in the world, but I'm a child of the King. I'm a kingdom kid. I care about what the kingdom says. I care about what God says. That's the authority that I want for my identity. And he says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. An amazing, incredible love. Even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible is a love story about a God who created man, but man and God, they were face to face. Man turned his back on God, and so God had to turn away from man. But God turned back around and made a promise. One's going to come that's going to crush the serpent's head. His heel will be crushed, but it'll be bruised. But he provided a bridge between us and man, and so now man can turn around and have fellowship with God again. What incredible love he had for us, that he would send his only son for us. It's an incredible story of love. And that is what we are, children of God. He has adopted us. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And then it talks about, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into he predestined to be adopted as his children. Sorry, I was jumping to Romans 8:29. Gotta watch my brain. Anyway, to be adopted. What incredible love. Dee Dee and I learned a lot about adoption when we adopted both our boys. God adopted me. He picked me. He chose me. What incredible love. And I have a great inheritance. I'm a child of God if I've been born again. And how do you become a child of God? You hear, you believe, you repent, you confess. You're baptized into Christ. And you go through that believer's wedding ceremony where you make that covenant with God that you're not going to live for yourself, but for Him. You become God's possession. Your sins are washed away. You're given the gift of the Spirit. What an incredible story of love. I had no hope, and now I have hope. Paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. I didn't deserve it, but God gave me His grace. I like the acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The message in the text is, God loves you. And God loves me. And we sing songs to capture that, don't we? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. To capture that incredible, amazing love that God has for us. And He wants us to know that not only does He love us, but He gives us eternal life. He gives us something to look forward to hope for. And so He says, we have a bright future. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. What a beautiful verse. Took me a while as I was growing up to totally get my head around it, but I understood one thing. When He appears, we shall see Him as He is. We are the children of God. What we will be has not yet been revealed. There's things that I don't necessarily totally can get my head around everything, but I know that Jesus is coming again. He's going to appear again. And when He comes, I know the Bible teaches there's seven events that will take place. The coming itself, the resurrection, the judgment, there'll be reward, there'll be punishment. The kingdom will be given back to the Father, and the world will be released from its bondage. When Jesus comes, I know that when He appears, I will be like Him, for I will see Him as He is. Anybody seen Jesus? We're going to get to see Him. We're going to get to look at Him. And I can only imagine what all that is like, but that anticipation should make me be different and live different, and I've got hope. I know that Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. I don't know when He's coming, but I know when He comes, I'm going to spend eternity with Him. And sometimes in this life, there are things that we look forward to. We anticipate. One of our elementary students this morning told me, today, when services are over, Nana and I are going to Olive Garden. And her eyes got big, and she's raising her hand. She's all excited about going to Olive Garden, and the longer I preach, the less excited she might get. But anyway, we got a little ways to go. Can you imagine how we should feel about Jesus coming? And some people say, well, when Jesus comes, I'm going to get to go to heaven. Where's our excitement? We're going to see Him. We're going to be like Him. We will see Him as He is. That's our hope. And because of that hope, we should walk different, talk different, be different. Sometimes we focus on the wrong things. We are children of God, and we have an amazing, incredible, loving Father. In the picture of the prodigal son, Jesus paints for us God running, hugging His child. I just want to be a servant. No, you're more than that. Let those messages sink into your heart. You matter to God. He loves you, and He also gives you hope, something to look forward to. And when everything on this earth is difficult and crazy and cloudy, we can look to the future and know Jesus is coming back and I'm going to be with him in eternity. And as we looked at last week, eternal life is the quality and quantity of life we have in Christ. But that's good stuff, isn't it? God loves me. God is giving me hope, desire plus expectation that I will spend eternity with him forever in heaven. But he doesn't stop there. He wants us to know that because we're children of God, we also have a responsibility. One more thing I was going to mention. Sometimes we wonder about what we're going to be like. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what our bodies will be like, imperishable, glorious, powerful, spiritual. We have something to look forward to. You can look at that text more later, and I've preached on it before, but wanted to use the opportunity just to remind you of that text, something you can look at this week. But we also have a clear focus. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as Jesus is pure. Since we have hope in Jesus coming again and spending eternity with him and seeing him as he is, that hope causes us to want to be pure, want to be holy, live different lives. Because of what God has promised me, I don't want to miss out on it. I want to make sure that I do my part. That's why Paul will tell the Philippians, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. God is at work in you to will and to act according to your good purpose. That's his good purpose. There's God's part and there's my part. Now John gets to the part where we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, where we, because of the hope that we have, we desire to be like Jesus. We desire to be pure. It means we get rid of all the uncleanliness. We get rid of the wrong stuff. We have a chance to live for God with class instead of trash. We can be different from the world. And because of that hope, I desire to be pure. And then he explains it further. He says in verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, and his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. We are called to be righteous. We are called to be holy. We are called to be pure. We are called to be different from the world. The children of the world live one way. We live a completely different way. Does it mean we're perfect? No. But it means we don't live in sin because now we have a new calling, a higher calling. We have a new nature. We don't operate the way we used to operate. We've been transformed. We've been changed. We've been sanctified. And it gives us a Christian's paternity test. You claim to be a child of God? Yeah. Do you pass the test? Then in verse 10 he says, in this children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So what does John say? If you don't live right and you don't love right, you're not a child of God. Do you pass that test? Well, I like number one, God loves me, and I like number two, going to heaven forever and ever and ever, being with God eternally. I like that. Preach on, Russell. But I don't really want to change. Then you are not a child of God. You don't pass the test. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul makes a point, when those who do not obey the gospel of God and don't know God, they will be punished. The Bible teaches that if you don't obey the gospel, sometimes I get the question, well, can this person be saved? What the Bible says is you must obey the gospel of God and you must know God. What does it mean to know God? Titus says they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. They don't live right. We're going to find out in a few weeks in 1 John chapter 4, 7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. So if you don't live right and you don't love right, guess what? You don't know God. You can say that you're a child of God, but do you pass the test? And do you do all you can in your life to make sure that you're growing and maturing in Christ and that you put away sin and you follow Jesus? God's counting on us to be different. God's counting on us to be pure. We're living in a world that will sometimes tell us, well, if you do this and you do this, you're okay. It's what the world says doesn't make any difference. What does the Scripture say? A person can claim to be a child of God, but are they? If they don't live right and they don't love right, if they're not righteous, if they're not pure, you're not being a child of God. I heard this illustration. I thought it was really cool. I was all excited about using it this morning. It was about if you put a shark in a small aquarium, it'll only grow to be about 8 inches. But then you put it in the wild, it'll grow to be 8 feet. I thought, that's pretty cool. I could use that as a sermon. Then I started looking it up, and guess what? It's like an urban legend. It's a myth. So I asked the experts, Haley, Kevin, is that true? You know, one's a marine person and one's works at the zoo. And they said, no. I mean, they'll still grow, but sometimes they'll have a bend in their body or different things like that. And I thought, man, I could have used that illustration. And then I got to thinking, well, environment does still affect growth. And now Kevin offered me this one, so I looked it up, and he said, you know, you might look into the orangutan. I thought it was orangutan, right? Because I'm from West Texas. But it's an orangutan, all right? So I started looking it up, and male orangutans have this flange on their face. And that's what attracts the female orangutans to them. They want someone to have that fatty tissue flange. And when you see it, you notice it. But if a bunch of males are together, many of them don't grow that. So the females aren't attracted to them, and they don't grow it. There's a mystery of why that happens. The experts are saying that it could be due to stress of the dominance, and so they don't let that happen. But their environment affects their development. And if you take them out of that environment where there's other dominant males and you put them out on their own, they begin to grow it. Sometimes an environment, food, water sources, vegetation, all those things can affect the growth in the animal kingdom. And in the spiritual kingdom, our environment, I want you to get this, our environment affects our growth. Evil companions corrupt good morals. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Sometimes we think we got a better idea than God, that we can be in environments and we can be okay when we're not going to be okay. You need to understand, if you're going to be pure, if you're going to be holy, if you're going to live right and love right, your environment matters. What you listen to matters. What you watch on television matters. Who you spend time with matters. The way you do social media matters. It all matters. Are you living righteously or not? Are you a child of God or not? My Bible, my Lord says all that matters. And we're living in a time of a pandemic where people are making decisions about their environment. Environment, your environment matters. Who do you spend time with? After all this is over, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be affected by choices that they've made. This next year, whether you study your Bible more or less, is going to change your environment, is going to change your development. Always has, always will. Sometimes we think, well, I've done that, I've read the book, I got the t-shirt, I don't need to do that anymore, you know. I don't need to go to Bible class anymore. I did it for 50 years. I'm going to retire. No. Your environment affects your development. We live in a time where too many people are making the wrong choices spiritually. And we need to understand that what God cares about, what Jesus cares about, that's the authority that I care about. Amen. I could tell you you're okay spiritually, but that doesn't matter. That's why Paul said, I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I don't even judge myself. God is my judge. What does God think when He looks in your life? Is it pure? Is it righteous? Are you living right? Are you loving right? That's what's important. John says, you are the children of God. You have a loving Father. You have a bright future, and you have a clear focus. What's your focus? Your focus needs to be living righteously for God. That's our identity. Several years ago, I had some connections with a couple of guys that played professional baseball. And sometimes they would come and play the Astros, and I'd go down and see their games. One particular time, I was down visiting the hospitals, and if you know me, I wear a suit every day. And I was visiting the hospitals, and I was living in Huntsville at the time, so I was an hour, 15 minutes away from home. And I got a call from one of these guys that they had put a ticket for the baseball game at will call. If I wanted to stop by, it was an afternoon game. I could go to the game. So I got the ticket, and they said afterwards, walk up to the gate, give them your name, and you can wait for me. I'll come out in one of the mezzanine level places where the visiting team would come out, and I could visit with them after the game. So I show up to the game in my suit, watch the game, visit with him. I go out where all the players are going out, and as I'm walking out, somebody said, hey, mister, will you sign this? He thought I was a baseball player. And I said, and then his father said, he's not a player. Burst my bubble, right? That wasn't my identity, right? I wasn't a baseball player. Just an average guy. But there are times where I would do demonstrations, break boards and bricks, and do karate stuff, go to championships or whatever, and people would ask for an autograph. I would sign that because that was part of my identity. You have an identity. You have an identity as a child of God. You have a loving Father. You have a bright future. And you have a clear focus to be different. Are you different? Today you can begin being different by being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you haven't taken that step, don't wait another second. If you need to study with someone, please come and talk to me. If you've been living and believing, I'm a child of God and I'm going to heaven, but you've been living in sin and you haven't repented and made that right, make that right today. If you're looking for a church that wants to walk in truth, preach the truth in love, and be the children of God, place membership with us and work with us. May we all keep our eyes on Jesus. We've been blessed with the best. Let's let our light shine for Jesus as we stand and sing.
Pray. partake of the Lord's Supper, let us center our minds on Christ. Let us reflect on his life and his death. As we partake of his supper, let us reflect on the emblems and what they represent. As we partake of the bread, let us remember that represents Christ's body, who he willingly sacrificed for us. He did it out of love. He took on our punishment. He took that upon himself in the form of his body. He sacrificed that body for us. As we partake of the cup, let us remember that represents his blood, which was shed to cover our sins and to give us atonement with God. So we serve a loving, wonderful Savior. Let us remember those things as we partake of these emblems. Let us pray. Father, we come before you thanking you for your Son, thanking you for Christ's willingness to come to this earth, Father, and to live a perfect life, only to give that life up, Father, in an unjust way. We thank you for Christ. We thank you for the love that he has shown for us. We pray that we will live for him. We ask, Father, your blessings upon us as we partake of this bread. In Christ's name, amen. Now let us pray for the cup. Father, we again approach you, thanking you for your Son, for the love that he gave to us. We thank you for Christ, his willingness to shed his blood, Father, for us, so that we may find atonement in his blood and a covering for our sins. We pray, Father, that as we go through the week, that we will remember these things and be Christ-centered and focused. We pray this in your Son's name.
Unto thee, O Lord. In front of you, or the chair in front of you, fill it out. If you're in the main auditorium, pass it to the outside aisles. If you're
of the Lord shall stand, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is held up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is held up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Yeah, we had a good lesson this morning, and it was so good to be here with all the fellow Christians, and every aspect of our worship service is important, whether we're raising our voice in praise to God through song, through prayer, or just listening to the wonderful lesson that Russell gave us this morning. As we also reflect upon the importance of the Lord's table, a very vital part of our worship service, to reflect upon the sacrifice that Christ made for us. But we'd be negligent if we also didn't mention the necessity to recognize the contributions that are made. These contributions, as we all take a part of contributing to the church, we realize the importance of it. Not to make ourselves feel good, but to let us know that we're a part of something greater than ourselves. The worship of God and following the teachings of Jesus Christ. The contributions that we make are from our heart. We do so joyfully, willfully, knowing that they're for the better good of all as Christians. And for those that have not made a contribution but wish to do so, there's a collection box on the wall in the foyer. Also, for those that are not present with us, they can make those contributions through the mail or drop them by and put them in the slot of the door. As we close out this morning's worship service, let's reflect upon those things that are not only important to the church, but important to us to be a part of something greater than ourselves through the contributions that we make. If you'll bow with me, we'll have a word of prayer as we close out this morning's assembly. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, and we thank you for allowing us to be here this morning, to participate in this morning's worship service. We pray, Father, for all those present that were spiritually uplifted, that we have taken something from the lesson that was given to us and home with us, and to increase our faith, to encourage us to be strong, continue to encourage us to be more servants than we are today, to improve ourselves in every possible way. And we know, Father, that's only possible as long as we continue to remain together as Christians to study the Holy Word and to do everything that is laid out before us by your Son, Jesus Christ. Also, Father, we need to also recognize the loss of life that was mentioned earlier through the deadly tornadoes that ripped through our country. be with these individuals, Lord, as they struggle with the loss of family members and friends, as they continue to try to rebuild their communities. And also, Father, be with us as we leave this assembly. Be with those that are in our prayers, that they're on our prayer list, that are struggling, those that have lost loved ones, those that are struggling with their own health, and for those that are caring for those that are having difficulties. Thank you again, Lord, for all the things that you have done for us and for your love. All these things in your Son's name, Christ our Savior. Amen.